You're listening to episode number 55 of The Green Elephant. Welcome and bienvenidos. This is your host, Rico Verde, broadcasting from the shores of Lake Chapala, Mexico's largest freshwater lake. In this and the next episode, we examine the role of media and the environment. We will argue that even with the massive disruptions they have experienced of late, the mass media is one of the most formidable players for directing aggressive climate momentum to keep up the fight for the living planet and a livable planet. Regrettably, they have a poor track record in this area. Is it them or us, the public, that is responsible for this? This is part one of the climate, the environment, and the media. New is the root word of news. News organizations make their money by grabbing and holding your attention with novel and unexpected happenings unfolding now, while phasing out what just came before. The human brain evolved to register dramatic and sudden events in our environment because these tended often to be the most threatening and deadly. Wild carnivores, erupting volcanoes, and hostile tribes found exceptional receptivity in our awareness. Our survival depended on being able to quickly recognize and react to these dangers. It's why we have a morbid fascination with and give a disproportionate amount of attention to stories of terror attacks, murders, plane crashes, natural disasters, and riots. Even shock appeal can run its course. Stories like the Syrian Civil War tend to disappear from coverage over time as they become regularly reported and constantly buzz in our ears. We evolved to tune out continuous noise. It no longer shocks us and prompts us to be vigilant. It's old news. Whether you refer to it as the news, the press, journalism, or the media, they are all methods or channels for us to be updated about what is going on locally, nationally, and globally. It's how we make the world meaningful. Without a free press, you get concealment of the truth, the suppression of reality, which leads to ignorance. Probably the most influential form of media is word of mouth, which is exactly how humans got any news for 99% of our history. Anthropologists have identified two group practices that are uniquely human: religion and storytelling. In both of those, we have to be able to imagine another world exists. Religion and storytelling. Even from the most isolated tribal societies in Africa to the most distant islands in the Pacific, people share an essentially similar definition of news. They shared gossip. This is still true in our modern societies. Much of the news we hear about is in the form of gossip. The word gossip in English has the connotation of speaking poorly of others or spreading rumors, but it really is just talking about others, usually family or friends. And most of that talk is neutral. In fact, for many of us, it makes up the bulk of our daily conversations. Ever talk about your child's good grades? That's gossip. So when it comes to media, what are we paying attention to? What grabs our attention? Pretty much all I watch is dogs with their heads stuck in something. I think most people are surprised to hear that in the pre-digital world, the best-selling books by far were cookbooks. So news about cooking rates high along with cooking shows. Crime is huge. There is kind of a descending order with crime. For example, how heinous it is, or a celebrity killing, or a high body count are always going to make the news and have staying power. Just looking at which sections are offered in popular media tell us what we're paying attention to. On the top, we would find politics, business, sports, entertainment, which are kind of the same, culture, fashion, health, science, art, design, and technology. My favorite is the opinion page. I like it when people have judgments and a position on issues. Research shows that young people are more interested in news with a point of view, as opposed to straight reporting of something like climate or eco-facts. Many news organizations have adapted to a changing marketplace by trying to make the news more like entertainment, known as infotainment. Television news in particular has leaned toward celebrity scandal and true crime to lure viewers back. I have noticed that the most popular podcasts are the crime shows, usually involving a murder. I read a headline the other day in the news that said, "It's time to stop making movies about Ted Bundy." He was the notorious serial killer in the 1970s. With so many media formats chasing too few stories, we are seeing certain themes get saturated. Everybody has their guilty pleasures, including moi. However, there is now an endless stream of content available around the clock and an endless audience for much of the trashy media many consume today. As we amuse ourselves to death, it makes it easy to ignore the many real-world struggles and injustices. Media is one of the most powerful forces shaping human culture. Arguably, mass media is one of the greatest advances of human civilization, along with the acquisition of language, writing, and agriculture. If we did not have the ability to communicate on a mass scale, we could not have advanced as a civilization. After all, freedom of speech and of the press is the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. It certainly has been more influential than the Second Amendment. Regardless of the format, the basic function of mass media remains the same: to provide audiences with information they need and want to know for both informative and entertainment purposes. This influences the way people look at the world and can make them change their views. Mass media plays a very important role in organizing public opinion. The media control the public narrative of our political, social, economic, and environmental issues. This enables people to make informed judgments on a variety of important topics and raise awareness on essential subjects. That's what we try to do with this podcast. Without media communication, it would be hard enough just knowing what is happening across the street, let alone across the world. Another way to look at it would be, where would we be without the media? Instead of just simply exploring the multiple aspects of media, for a moment, let's look at a world without media. 150 years ago, there was basically no or very little media. The horizon of the individual was much smaller. There was less distraction. In short, a world without media would be very different. You may have seen the recent Tom Hanks movie called News of the World. Hanks plays a former Confederate soldier who makes his living traveling town to town reading newspapers to people who would pay 10 cents to hear what was happening in the world around them. Imagine that, for your dime, you might get the privilege of listening to a half dozen news items. It could be many months or even years before you could get updated news. In fact, at this same time, the newly inaugurated holiday of Juneteenth came about because, with the Civil War over in April 1865 and slavery in the United States abolished, it was two long months, June 19th or Juneteenth, before slaves in Texas found out they were free. A world without media is a world without technology, without education, without a clue. The news holds societies together. It provides a sense of unity and shared purpose. Exchanging this information becomes the basis for creating community and making human connections. We form relationships, choose friends, and make character judgments based partly on whether someone reacts to information the same way as we do. Witness the great divide so obvious in the country today. How would our climate and ecological difficulties appear to us if there were no media? Would most of us even know they existed without mass media to inform us? Some people are noticing climate changes in their own lives. Things like lakes not freezing over like they used to, or flowers blooming earlier, or disruptions in the timing of bird migrations. Of course, you would have to have something to compare these events to and the interest to even notice them. But without mass media, the billions of changes happening on the planet would be a secret to most. I was reading a story about the melting glaciers in the Himalayan mountains and how it was impacting life for people who relied on the glacial melt for water. One woman in Pakistan was interviewed, and she spoke to how things were changing for her and her village, and life was becoming harder because of less water flowing. What really struck me was, when asked if she had ever heard of climate change, she said no. She had no knowledge of the vast transformations impacting the globe. This woman lived in a very remote, rural area and was probably illiterate, so she could be forgiven for her lack of knowledge on the subject. The irony was, she is personally being impacted by forces and a crisis she has done very little to create. So, what role should the media play in the climate and ecological crises? I will argue that media is as big an influence on societies as any other major institution, such as government, corporations, or financial systems. The mass media structure is an institution itself. It holds the authority to shape, persuade, inspire, and motivate. Media is considered as a mirror of the modern society. I would go as far as to say that the media shapes our lives. By giving scientists, activists, and policymakers a platform to speak directly to people, the media can powerfully translate the impacts of climate and ecological changes in an understandable and conceivable way. For instance, local news organizations can show the impact of climate change in its own communities. In this way, localized media can give its inhabitants a chance to work grassroots and connect to citywide policymakers to see what they can do. Sharing information on the changes happening on our planet can be empowering, providing audiences tools and information so they can act for themselves. This involves making information interactive, providing dates when action needs to be taken, explaining how to get more involved. It may even go further and involve organizing events that bring the community together to solve problems. Effective local community building is one of the most empowering practices for us to dig ourselves quickly out of this eco mess we're mired in. The transition of news from print, television, and radio to digital spaces has caused huge disruptions in the traditional news industry, especially the print industry. The majority of people now are getting their news from their digital devices. Up to 86% get their news from a smartphone, computer, or tablet. This unfortunately means that many people are getting information that is biased or completely untrue. And, as we are all experiencing, this is having negative impacts on many aspects on our society and lives. For example, as I write this, a large percentage of people in the country will not get a COVID vaccination. This has led to a substantial spike in cases in those regions. It's stupidity meeting reality. The term fake news is overloaded with connotation. The previous president used it as a shield. Anything that was critical of him was fake, made up, not even worth discussing. Considering all the craziness populating the internet aside, I think fake news among legitimate news sources is virtually unheard of. They scrupulously police themselves. In the not-too-distant past, we had only what we call now legacy media, institutions such as the New York Times or Washington Post, and major network outlets like CBS and NBC is where everybody got their news. This is still true today. With the advent of digital media, we have many newer outlets such as Vox, Wired, Politico, The Daily Beast, BuzzFeed, and a handful more. What all these news organizations have in common is that they are meticulous in their practices with the truth. They all have rigorous systems in place to assure accuracy. Without this, they would lose trust and credibility. A prime example, you may have noticed this yourself, is when a news organization makes a mistake, even as small as an incorrect date or the misspelling of a name. They will prominently display a correction in a later edition. Called a correction or an erratum, it is a very common practice. Many of us believe that we live in the age of information, that there's been an information explosion, an information revolution. While in a certain narrow sense, this is the case, in many important ways, just the opposite is true. We also live at a moment of deep ignorance when vital knowledge that humans have always possessed about who we are seems beyond our reach. We are living in an informational age of enlightenment. We are living in an age of informational ignorance. When something happens in the world, a plane crash or a multiple homicide, newsmen would say, "Well, it's good for business." Much of the environmental coverage we see today is brought to us via disaster. Devastating fires and floods, hyperclimate accelerated hurricanes, and the inevitable breaking of records, particularly superlatives like the hottest or the wettest day, night, month, or year. Climate change really matters to most people. On average, across all markets, around 69% of respondents stated that they consider climate change to be an extremely or very serious problem. But there is a news hole where environmental news intersects with politics, economics, and cultural perceptions. It is often ignored. Surveys show that the public's perception of global environmental threats are rising sharply. Yet, I believe the majority of people will not admit to themselves the severity of these future shocks. We are facing a looming tipping point into a dramatically changed, less hospitable planet. Humanity is clearly sleepwalking into catastrophe. The good news is the media coverage of climate change and impacts on biodiversity has improved recently. The bad news is this eco-news coverage was already woefully low to start with. Research tells us that few Americans say they hear about global warming in the news. When asked how often they hear about climate change in the news media, fewer than a half the Americans said once a month. On this measure, public perceptions are roughly in line with reality. News coverage of climate change is sorely lacking. Last year, broadcast news gave climate change less airtime than the things like Oprah's interview with royalty. When it comes to climate change, television news networks are covering little more than the literal tip of the melting iceberg. For example, environmental news coverage made up only 0.6%. That's less than 1% of overall TV broadcast news last year. Another perspective is, in 2019, broadcast networks covered the climate crisis for a total of 238 minutes, out of 33,000 minutes of coverage for everything else. This clearly reflects that these programs' climate coverage does not adequately signal the urgency and severity of the climate crisis. This includes the Sunday morning news shows also. So, you could imagine that it was not difficult to achieve sizable growth in the amount of coverage because the year before, 2020, was so pitiful that news organizations had a low bar to meet the next year. As an example, the broadcast networks and cable news went from a little over 2 hours of eco coverage in 2019 to a little under 3 hours. That is 3 hours for the entire year. And the quality of the coverage of what they do report was generally shallow. This is the amount of time devoted to what the UN described as the defining issue of our time, with an impact that is global in scope and unprecedented in scale. Because we don't talk about it, the media doesn't report on it. It doesn't grab viewers the same way that other stuff does, such as terrorist attacks, mass shootings, or immigration. The worst part? Because society is not even discussing these issues, it is considered a low priority for the politicians we elect. What can the media do about this? The biggest dilemma media encounters is that climate coverage has the MIGO factor. My eyes glaze over. Most people are not interested in the details of these issues. There is a variety of reasons. It's scary. It's depressing. It's too much science. And frankly, most don't want to deal with it. It's much easier just to ignore it. Consider this. Climate and environment are immense issues encompassing virtually every living thing on Earth. When reporting on these topics, broadcasters focus most often on climate adaptation and renewable energy technologies when discussing solutions, but not much on direct action, such as youth climate activism. It's also been found that broadcasters did a pretty poor job overall covering the connection between climate change and specific extreme weather events. And as a sidebar, do you know which television broadcasters are driving much of this public debate on the climate crisis? Your local TV news weathercaster, who are often trusted in their communities. If your TV weatherman is not personally concerned about turning the Earth's atmosphere into a toxic steam bath, you and your community are just out of luck. And finally, not only should news corporations be taking a comprehensive approach to covering climate change, they need to go beyond covering these events as standard news reporting and move on to what do we do about this? What are the active action measures that will most effectively attack these issues before our nightly newscast starts featuring weather forecasts from hell? That's what we do on this podcast broadcast. Solutions, how to fix it, what you and we can do. That most precious of commodities, time, is running out. On the next episode of The Green Elephant, we bring you part two of the climate, the environment, and the media. We take an even deeper dive into the power, influence, and how the media may be our only hope for true climate progress. We find that out by answering these questions. Are we, the public, the reason climate and environmental stories are a ratings killer? How cozy is mass media with fossil fuel corporations? Which of the news outlets are doing an exceptional job of covering this, the biggest story in the world? The climate and extinction crises are barreling toward us like a runaway freight train. What do we hear in the media? Crickets. How can we turn that around? Remember, the main purpose of the media is to hold those in power accountable. How can we use that knowledge to hold those media authorities accountable? On the next Green Elephant in the Room. Did you hear anything on the show today that you thought a friend might be interested in listening to? Send him a link to the podcast. I know not everybody does podcasts, but we do have a great website you could send them to also. That's bit.ly Green Elephant in the Room. That's bit.ly/Green Elephant in the Room.